Hello and welcome to Transcendental Transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and tonight is Tuesday, January 26, 2016. We are coming live from the beautiful and cold city of Chicago, Illinois. It is cold out here tonight. It is so windy. I got to tell you guys, tomorrow I'm going home, and I can't wait. Like, I love the city. I'll tell you that in a second, all about my experiences in this week's thing. But, oh, my God, like, I got to tell you, like, the cold has finally gotten to me. It has been cold. It has been snowy today. It's so windy outside and so cold that I'm like, oh, my God, like, just to even go outside to get something out of the car in an insulated garage, it's too cold. I am ready. I know my Florida peoples are down there, and they're complaining about the 50-degree weather or the 60-degree weather that they were having and all the rain. But I'm telling you guys, you come up here, and just even if it's 30 degrees out and they have the wind chill factor, it feels like it's, like, below zero. I swear it's crazy. And I don't miss the city at all, like, at least the temperature-wise. But I got to tell you, it's been an awesome trip for me. I have had such a great time. Originally, I came up here for a seminar, and, you know, and I got to say, it was okay. It didn't have the pull that I wanted it to have or that I thought that it was going to have. But, you know, it's still okay. You get out and you start mingling. You start to, you know, expand your business a little bit. You start traveling and this. And some of them are really good. Some of them aren't. But, you know, I got to meet a lot of nice people, and that's what counts, right? You know, even if the seminars aren't as big or if they don't go as smoothly as you'd like them to, a lot of times it's nice to just make connections, right? Because that's what life is all about, is making the connections, meeting people and expanding our consciousness, expanding our circles to greater lengths, and just kind of sharing knowledge, sharing energy with each other. And so I had a good time, and the people that I met at this seminar, I really enjoyed their energy. I really enjoyed going through some of the steps with them, and it was really nice. But what was nice about this as well is I got to spend some time with two of my friends. Shelly Mitchell was in town, and Melissa Binkley is still here. She's downstairs probably eating a food right now or snacking right now because she's been working all day, and I'm so proud of her. I really am. But I got to spend some really good quality time. Shelly was in town. Like I said, we got to go and eat Chicago-style pizza. She's never had it before, so I took her to Pizzeria Uno's downtown, and we got to do a little traveling for a little bit. And, you know, it's such a great time when you could. I love my friends. I really do. I really, truly love spending time with anybody that I'm close with. It's just such an amazing thing. But I got to tell you, I've had a major realization this trip. I am, for the first time in 20 years, I have been excited to be back in Chicago. Chicago, for me, has always been plagued by bad memories, bad experiences. Growing up, for me, wasn't easy. It was really tough in a lot of ways, as far as emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, just everything about my life. Other than, you know, I had great parents. We had a family business, and financially it was okay. But there was a lot of heartache when it came to the emotional and mental and spiritual side of it. And we're going to get into that later. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, when you grow up in gangs and you have bad experiences, bad friends, and just kind of, you know, and you're just always around violence, that, you know, it gave me a sense of, why do I want to be here? There's more to life. There's got to be more to life than that. And watching my friends die and go to jail, it wasn't something that I enjoyed. And so when we moved out from the city into the suburbs, I got bullied by a bunch of people all the time because, oh, let's beat up on the city chick. Let's beat up on her. Let's pick on her. And you know, they would gain up on me 20, 30 people at a time. And I never enjoyed this. I had a neighbor that constantly tried to destroy our house, and it was just always something. They bullied me so much that I actually in turn became the bully just to save face. I was like, you know, I thought, you know, hey, if I can't beat him, join him, right? But it took me to such a place that that I just didn't enjoy. And my old life of who I used to be wasn't accepting. There was a lot of pain, people. There was a lot of pain and agony along with it. But you know what? This trip, I realized I healed from it. And that's what's important, because believe it or not, I work on myself every single day. And if you're a loyal listener to this radio show and you know me personally, you know that every single day I work on myself, because you have to constantly work on yourself. You have to put yourself in a position where you're recognizing things to grow. And so when I came here, I said, you know what? Okay, Raina, this is the time where we have to go through. This is the time where I have to look at it and I have to see what I'm going, how much I've grown. And when I got here and I realized that the stuff that used to bother me doesn't bother me anymore, oh my God, it was such a revelation in my life. It was such a good feeling to let go of everything. I even went to my old high school and visited, and I swore to God that I would never ever go back to that high school. When I left that high school a long time ago, I was out of there. I said, see you later. And you know what? Those teachers wanted me out as bad, because I was a little troublemaker back in the day. But I got to connect with my swimming coach, actually both of them, my swimming coach, Coach Kubowitz and Coach Furklock, and even one of my English teachers. And they were all such a big influence in my life. They really changed my life. When I got into heavily with drugs, because I couldn't handle who I was anymore and I just wanted to commit suicide and things were going really bad for me, they never gave up on me. And as hard as they pushed me at the time, I respected them. And every day I think about them. And so I was so glad to be able to go to my past and actually accept it and reconnect with these people who helped shape my life. You know, but I will say that I didn't feel my age until I saw these high school kids. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm 38. You know, I still feel like I'm in my 20s. No more. That's out the window. When I saw these kids coming, I was like, wow, I'm so much older than them. I don't look like them anymore. I don't feel like them anymore. And I just realized, okay, I'm middle-aged now. So that's what it was. But I really did have a good time, and I'm kind of sad to go home tomorrow. I'm going to miss my mom. I love her very dearly, and that's always hard. At the last show, if you tuned in, I think it was a couple weeks ago that we did. I don't know. I've been having so much fun in Chicago that I kind of lost track. But the last show was The Way of the Light, The Struggle of a Growing Consciousness. And we reached out to all the healers, the empaths, and the light workers. And we talked about the struggles of the faith in humanity. You know, as healers, as empaths, and light workers, as indigo children, which we're going to talk about tonight, is we have a struggle of keeping our faith in humanity. We look around in the world and we say, what is going on? Like, can the world really be saved? Can we really change this around? As people just constantly buy into politics, the same politicians over and over, the same religious beliefs, the same beatdowns over and over in life, we just constantly fall into these same traps. And it's hard to have a healthy outlook in life. If you're one of these people that are finally moving into a higher consciousness and breaking away from the conformity of society and the condition of society, this is hard. But if you're still in the condition of society, then a lot of these things we don't see wrong. But for us, the light workers, the ones who are trying to change the world and pave the way to the future, this is tough. And we have the falsehoods of if we're growing in consciousness and we're growing and we're learning more and we're expanding our awareness, if we grow, it makes life easier. And if we become more aware, it makes people easier to deal with. But we know those are falsehoods, because the more we grow, the more energetic we feel and we sense with ourselves, we know that it's a struggle. And that's the hard part about being a light worker. That's the hard part about being an indigo child or an empath. It's that we have to change our awareness. We have to be able to change our thought patterns and our... Being a light is hard, people. Being a light is definitely a hard thing to do, especially in this day and age. We are at a pivotal point in our consciousness, in our human evolution, that we're shifting. And people aren't going to understand you. People are going to judge you. We'll talk about that with the indigo child too. The indigo child gets judged. People don't understand them. And this is what's great about it, because people have a lot to learn from us. We have to be able to teach these people. We have to be able to teach the ones that don't understand, that don't have the awareness or the source of consciousness, in order to shift the energy. So if you're listening tonight, if you're new to the show and you're listening tonight, make sure you go back and check this show out, especially if you enjoy this show, because it has to tie in with each other. A lot of the shows tie in with each other, especially if you listen to them back to back. It's in the archives. You know where they're at. Go check them out. Well, tonight, as I promised, it is the long-lost indigo child, the emotional struggle to succeed. Will the struggling indigo child ever come into their own acceptance and succeed in their spiritual mission? If even the spiritual world doesn't understand the indigo child, what chance do they have in the world to create their own life? Tonight's show is such an important show for anyone who believes that they are an indigo child or is a parent of an indigo child. There are so many struggling Generation X people out there. The era of Generation X, the generation that was not supposed to succeed, that was supposed to kind of falter in society and just kind of be swept under the rug. The lost indigo children, the parents that didn't understand their child. We didn't understand, so that's what we label them. Oh, Generation X, they're not going to understand. We can't teach these kids. The kids just don't get it today. And we just kind of label them with learning disabilities and all sorts of different stuff. It's a struggling thing. It's very important. And I'm so glad that many of you are tuning in today, because when Shelly was here and we were down at Pizzeria Uno, we were talking about different things. And of course, you know, the subject of her son always comes up because I'm mentoring him. And, you know, it's one of those things where we were just talking in conversation and we're talking about her son and how he's struggling and how he was dealing with his emotional turmoil and how we're working on different ideas and different growth patterns with him and the disconnection he has. And you know, as she was talking to me, I saw the fear in her eyes. There was just so much fear about her son and you know, and deep concern and the struggle he faces. And that's true with any parent, right? We want our children to succeed. We want our parents. We want our child to do what's best. So, of course, when we see our child struggling, or if we're an indigo child ourselves and we struggled through most of our childhood and even into our adulthood, it's really tough. And this is a big concern, because is our life always going to be a struggle? Does it always have to be the emotional turmoil? Are we always going to be disconnected from the rest of the world? Will we ever succeed in our spiritual mission? This is, I can understand why Shelly was so upset. But the fact of the matter is, the indigo child is going to struggle. We are going to struggle, and there's a reason for that, and we're going to get into it a little bit later. But when we do, if we're not struggling, then we're not learning. And that's good with anybody. If you're not struggling in life, whether you're an indigo child, a spiritualist, religious, non-indigo, whoever you are, if you're not struggling in your life, then you're not learning. And the more you struggle, the more you learn. But unfortunately, with our problems, we intend to get engrossed with them, right? We get caught up in our emotions. We get caught up in our ideas. We get caught up in our own drama. We get caught up in the victim. And the indigo child is no different, because we're labeled as troublemakers, as problem childs, as learning disabilities, all these different things. And how can we not be dissatisfied with our life when everyone is putting us down, when everyone tells us all day long that we're nobody, that we're never going to succeed? Because as someone who came from Generation X and that era, I was told my whole life, even by teachers, that I would never succeed and that I would always be a failure in life. And so how can we not be dissatisfied? How can we not have emotions, especially if we're high emotions? This has to be that. And like I said, if you're a good parent, you want your child to succeed, right? If you want them to live their life, you want them to be happy, whether they get married or not, if they have a good job, as long as they're happy. Of course, we want them to have a good job and a good career and a happy family if that's what they choose. But you know, we want them to be happy enough, and we become over concerned, and the child puts the pressure of success on us, and that's got to change. And we're going to talk about why putting pressure on an indigo child is so dangerous to who they are, because once we put the pressure on them, they kind of crumble, because we're putting the wrong type of pressure on them. But, you know, but when I was talking to Shelley, what I realized is that we had to go in so many different directions with her son because her son is not an indigo child. And I haven't told her that, and I know she's probably listening to this show tonight and saying, what? What? My son's not an indigo child? No, he's not an indigo child. There are many different types of children that are coming in with special gifts. Indigo children, we'll get into right now. Why don't we just get into it? Who are the indigo children? Indigo children were children born as early as the 1950s, but so very few. So very few children in the 1950s, just a small little sprinkle of them. The majority of them came between 1976 and 1985. And I know if you go do your research or you've studied a lot of thought about indigo child, those dates may vary, but that's the good chunk of when they really came in. That's when they were doing. And what is an indigo child all about? The indigo child is just basically someone that is born with an indigo aura. They are born with extraordinary gifts or a little bit, I shouldn't say extraordinary, but I'll say a little bit more of advanced gifts. Some of their traits are highly sensitivity. They're very intuitive, very empathic. They're creative like crazy. They can create anything out of the clear blue. And it's such a great, it's so inspiring to see an indigo child that really knows who they are just create a world. Just be able to create whatever it is, whether they're an artist or a scientist or a musician or a radio show host or whatever they do, they love to create. And they have such very, very high IQs. Their IQ is off the chart. It really is. I have yet to meet an indigo child. If you have a true IQ test done to them, I have yet to meet an indigo child that's below 130. And they're just extremely smart. They're loners by nature. And, you know, a lot of times we've talked about this in the past as well, is the difference between being alone on your own and being a loner for the right reasons. You know, when we're a loner for the right reasons, life is good. But unfortunately, many of us society has constantly put us down. We've been fired for jobs because people don't understand us. And so we seclude, right? We hide in our caves. We don't want to come out. And the turmoil continues. And let me tell you, people, the indigo child can destroy themselves. They are very, very highly sensitive and highly intuitive. And they're so creative that they can actually create chaos in their mind, even stuff that doesn't exist. I don't know how many indigo children are listening or people that believe that they're indigo children, but if you have ever been the loner for the wrong reason and you've created ideas that you knew didn't exist, but you've created a whole scenario in your head that just came alive in your head as if it happened. That's the power you have to create. And I swear, you know, your heart was racing, you start sweating, the sympathetic nervous system kicked in, like as if you were really experiencing that. Because you have that much power to create. It is really, really amazing, the power to create. And they're also rebellious. And we'll get into the rebellious part in a second after these messages from our sponsor.
From combat to Cosmo to corporate to coach, Shelley Mitchell works with smart, creative, and driven, highly spirited entrepreneurs, helping them find their focus, get clear on their message, create a plan that works for them and their unique brain style to develop the systems so that they can be the CEO of their business and make more money. The time is now to turn your passion and your purpose into a profitable, successful business. Visit Shelley Mitchell's website, mypersonalbusinesscoach.com, or email Shelley, that's Shelley with an EY, at mypersonalbusinesscoach.com. When visiting the website, be sure to request your weekly success planner and or schedule a catapult your cash flow call with Shelley herself, both complimentary.
During that little commercial break, I just had to actually put on my little sweater here. It is cold, people. It really is so cold here. And maybe I'm a little bit of a baby when it comes to the cold. I really am. I'm very sensitive, which is why I live in Florida. But it is cold. But anyways, the indigo child was born to rebel. And if you are an indigo child, you know you will never conform to any idea. You hate the ideas. You hate rules. You hate laws, and especially the what we perceive to be the stupid ones, the ones that don't make sense, the people that are just trying to control you, just to control you, the people that are out there just that wear badges or wear little things, and they act like they're the law of the land now, and we just, it just irks us, and teachers, like everything, and this is one of the reasons why we have so many problems in school. When we're young, and even when I was young, you know, like the teachers used to call me the devil child when I was in grammar school. The nuns used to, like, if it wasn't for my mom, I swear to God, like, I would have been thrown out of that school a long time ago because I was always pushing. Because, you know, what is the Catholic school all about? Conformity. Bow down to this God. Understand that God's going to punish you if you're not like this. And I thought, what do you mean God's going to punish me? If you're telling me that this is an all-knowing God, and then you're going to punish me for asking questions, I never liked rules. And same with the indigo children. The indigo child will never conform. And the harder you push them, the more angry they become, the more resentment that builds up inside them. I mean, you want to talk about anger. You push an indigo child. You push your beliefs on them. You push your way on them. You tell them that they have to do something. And if you don't word it properly, you're going to get backlash. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it in their eyes. You're going to see it in their sensitivity. Because you're telling them, you're giving them a law. You're giving them an instruction. And even if it's to better them, they just don't want to do it because it's in their nature. The rules make no sense. Because they think differently. All indigo children do is they think differently. We do. We don't care about all the little things in life. We don't. We have our mission. We have certain ideas. We have certain feelings. And that's what we care for. We are a big idea of live and let live. And in the true way. I've always been that way. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what sexuality you are. I don't care what you do in life. If you want to do drugs, if you want to go dancing, if you want to go ride a bike, if you want to do anything in your life, I don't care. As long as you're not going out hurting somebody or little children. And that's all I care about. Other than that, live and let live. And any awakened soul, any indigo child, the crystal children, the rainbow children, any of them will be that way. Live and let live. It's the younger souls, the people that aren't here, are always pushing their way. So this is why it is so tough for the indigo child to understand laws. This is why it's so tough for them to follow the rules, because all these rules are restricting. And didn't I just say that they were creative? Didn't I just say that the indigo child was so creative that they can create ideas in their mind that aren't actually happening and live them as if they just happened? Well, so if you're putting a restriction and you're putting all these different laws and you're putting all these different ideas and saying you can't do this and you're and this and that, well, what are you doing? I mean, you're not allowing them to live and let live. You are going against the very nature of who they are. And this is the problem for everybody. This is why, if you were a parent and you were trying to push your children and you were trying to punish them by teach them by punishment, the more you punished them, the worse things got, and the worse they got. And it takes a long time for an indigo child to get over it. An indigo child is not a resentful person in the sense of holding a grudge, but they remember. It's almost like when you do something to them and you really hurt them, they don't forget. They don't forget easily at all. And for somebody who does something in action and then feels guilty about later, that can be hard, because they know, if you've ever been friends with an indigo child or if you've ever been a parent to one, then you understand what I'm saying to you. You understand that they will always remember that detail. They will remember that day until they die. That doesn't mean that they won't forgive you. That doesn't mean that they won't move on from it, but they'll never forget what you did. And so the indigo child is like that. They're very sensitive to this. And parents, this stuff is for you right now. Do not stifle your child. I can't stress this enough. Do not stifle your child, especially actually if you're a parent now and you have a young child. You don't have an indigo child. You have a crystal child, or you have a rainbow child. And I can always get into that on another show or whatever, because this show is about indigo children, but they hold very similar traits to each other. They hold very similar ideas with each other, and you can't stifle anyone. I love my dad and my family very much, but we were kind of by the rules in some areas, and I acted out. I'm by no means was I ever a perfect child at all. I was very devious. I like to bend the rules, obviously, but the more somebody told me I had to act this way and have this job and do go to school and do all these things, the more it crushed me. Like, it put so much pressure on me because I was bad at school. I really was. I was bad at school, and I know a lot of you Indigo children out there were bad at school, and Crystal children and Rainbow children are the same. They're just the way school is taught. It's just never going to make sense to us. And you need to let your children explore themselves. The exploration of who they are and their emotions are so important. My mom, we still go round and round, and sometimes I'm not sure if she still totally understands who I am, but I am just a very excitable, energetic, emotional person. That I'm sensitive, I am empathic, I'm intuitive, creative, I'm rebellious. And so when I talk a lot of times, even in this show, you guys, if you're new to it, you're probably like, oh my God, Raina is so excited, listen to her voice, she's rawr. But that's who I am. My energy goes. When it flows, that's the exploration. That's my emotions. That's how the energy flows. And the Indigo child is no different. They are very excitable. But a lot of times what happens to the Indigo child is because they get lost in society, they get lost in the conformity of society, they get lost in all the rules because they feel, well, I'm a bad person because everyone's telling me to do this, but I feel this, so I'm going to have to do this anyways. And they become that loner. They become the depressed loner. They become the sad person that doesn't want to be bothered because they're not able to express themselves. You want to make sure your child succeeds, then you allow them to express themselves. You allow them to be themselves. And that doesn't mean if they're throwing a tantrum not to do anything or never discipline them. You have to change the rules of how you discipline. You don't discipline by punishing. You teach them how their actions will have consequences. There's a big difference. My dad was all punishment. We were old school Catholic and old school Hispanic. So, my dad was just that way. Wonderful, wonderful man. But that was just the way. And so, when I messed up, and I messed up a lot, it was punishment. The belt came off and I got spanked. If someone would have taught me, if I didn't have Lori or Mark Rana, Silviana, Luciana, my core four of my guides, if I didn't have them teaching me the emotional part as I was getting older, I don't know where I would be because the society doesn't teach you that. It doesn't, right? Nobody goes up and says, even if you go online, after the show, I want you to go online and I want you to research Indigo Child. And I guarantee you, you'll have a lot of people writing articles and they'll give you always the list of what the Indigo Child is all about and what they're sensitive to. But they never talk about how to deal with your emotions, how to deal with your sensitivity, how to deal with the creativity, because your creativity can get out of hand. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that your creativity can sometimes be so great that it can just go wild on you? And that can cause chaos in your life. Because why? You don't know who you are. You've never explored yourself. This is why. Because society tells you not to. Society tells you to conform. Society tells you to go out and get married, go to school, get a job, and do all these things. It teaches nobody in the world how to deal with their emotions. So if you're ultra sensitive, how are you ever going to understand yourself? How are you ever going to find happiness in your life? How are you ever going to find these things if you never get a chance to explore this? So I'm telling you parents right now that if you have a sensitive child, if you have that, allow them to explore themselves and teach them. And even if you don't know, well, hey, that's what I'm here for. I work with children all the time. I work with the teenagers. I'm mentoring a Shelly's son right now, and that because he does, she and she says, you know what, Raina, I don't understand who he is. I'm never going to understand who he is because I don't know what he's going through. And it's not anybody's fault. If you're not a sensitive person, if you're not an indigo child, or you're not a empath or a healer, and you don't have any of these gifts, and you have a child that has these gifts, well, how can you understand what they're going through? How can you understand the emotional excess that builds up? Or when they're frustrated, it's like a volcano. It just builds, builds, builds until it goes boom, and it explodes all over the place. And I still do that for once in a while, people. I still do that. When I'm moody, I got to remove myself. I have to make sure that. But don't ever beat yourself up, parents. Don't feel like you're failing because you don't understand your child. You know, it's the old saying goes, right? Until you wear someone else's shoe, that, you know, the foot's on the other shoe, you're not going to understand. So if you're not a psychic medium, if you're not an empath, if you're not a healer, you're never going to understand it. So don't expect to understand your child 100%, but just be open to who they are. Being open can create so much positivity in this relationship, in this trust, in the bond between you and your child, that even if you don't know what they're going through, they're going to feel safe and comfortable around you. And this is so very important. I could never go to my dad and tell him this stuff. I was so afraid half the time. And even sometimes I hold back with my mom, even though I know she's very open with stuff. Sometimes I know I push the limits with things. And so sometimes I'll hold back. And you know, it's hard. Even when I was a child, I didn't understand my parents either. All I knew is I wasn't like them and they weren't like me. So if I'm highly intuitive, if I'm highly empathic and my emotions are set on high all the time, you know, and I'm always being punished because when I don't know how to control, I act out in bad ways. And if I do control, then I become depressed. I mean, where is the win? And this can be confusing. This is very hard. And so in my life, and I don't know how many of you have been diagnosed or ever gone to a psychiatrist, psychologist, or any mental health care worker, but I've been diagnosed with ADHD. I've been diagnosed with depression. I have anxiety. I've been diagnosed with claustrophobia, all sorts of different things. And you know, and these phobias, these fears are very real. And if you know me, you'd be like, oh my God, she's totally hyperactive. Even today, I was driving my mom nuts. We were doing stuff. I was acting all over, pushing buttons. And, you know, and these are some of the common misconceptions to the indigo children or even the crystal children that are now coming in, or the rainbow children that are now coming in. You know, the misdiagnosis, because what are we in a world of? We are in a world of labels, right, folks? We want to label everything and anything. Why? Because it makes us feel good in who we are, right? If I understand that this person's ADHD, hey, I know what they're about. If this person's bipolar, I know what they're about. If this person has red hair and named Bob, I know who they're about. I know what they're about, right? So labels are important to people who don't understand themselves. But the great thing about the indigo child, right, is we don't need labels. We don't want labels. Any highly advanced spiritual being that's come and incarnated into this world, it doesn't like labels. They don't. They don't want labels because it confines them. It conforms them to an idea that's not them. I mean, if you take your life right now, can you say you're just one thing? If I say, oh, you're a female and you like this, you like to go horseback riding, because horseback riding's big in Wellington. So are you just always a female that horseback rides? No, you do other things. You may play sports. You may go shopping. You may, you know, like to watch movies. You may like to read books. There's so many other things that you like to do. And so to put a label of a learning disability, because energy happens in the people that are indigo children or highly sensitive. I mean, do we understand why we're labeled as ADHD or depression? Well, let's take a moment to think about this. So in ADHD, what happens? It's attention deficit with hyperactivity disorder, right? So that means that we have a hard time focusing and our attention span is short and that we're hyperactive, right? Our energy is too much. Well, don't you think that if we're a highly sensitive, intuitive empath that can feel everything and everybody, and we don't have the knowledge to shut off the other people around us, Could it be possible that when we're feeling everybody and that we're reading all the other energies, could it be that we're absorbing the other thoughts and ideas and energies of others, and that's creating excess energy? And because we're sitting in the schoolroom all day, and because we're sitting at a job, and we're not being allowed to exercise this energy, and we're not using it, it creates a hyperactivity in us. And I'm in the medical field, and I study the brain like crazy. I am in Eastern medicine, and still I go to Western medicine because I want to study everything about the people. And as a spiritualist, as a spirit guide, and people who teach children and teenagers about how to handle themselves, you know, that's one thing that I always see. And that's one thing that I noticed throughout my life as well, is when I get too much energy, when my energy is not used, and I'm around a lot of people, and I'm open, and I just suck in people's energies, and all of a sudden what happens is I go crazy. I start being hyperactive. I can't sit still. And the next thing I know, I'm all over the place. And everyone's like, Miss Raina, calm down. Miss Raina, calm down. Come on now, calm down. And sometimes I drive my friends nuts. It happens. And you know what? It's the exact opposite. Let's take depression, right? Depression is what? When energy doesn't move. When energy doesn't move in the body, it depresses, right? Which is why it's called depression. Depression goes down, right? Our energy, our mood goes down. So it makes sense. So when we're being stifled, if we're meant to create and we're meant to go out and create a world and to move and to teach, to pave the way for the next set of crystal children and the rainbow children to really come in and make the impact in this world, and our mom and dad is telling us, no, you're a bad child, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, I mean, if someone's constantly telling me I'm a loser, I'm never going to amount to anything, you're bad at school, and you got to do all these things, you can never be yourself. Well, that's pretty depressing, isn't it? And you don't have to be an indigo child to be told any of those things. I know plenty of people that are just everyday people without any extra gifts or anything like that, that get told that you have to do all these things. And a lot of people who come to me for the work that I do always tell me, you know, Miss Raina, the one thing that I wish is I wish I would have done what I wanted to do. I went to school because my parents told me I had to go to school. I went to college because my parents told me I wanted to go to college. I did all these things. I got married, and I didn't want to do any of these things. But now I have all these things that I don't want to do, and I'm miserable because we're conforming. We're conforming. And parents, if you're doing this to your child, of course you want them to succeed. Of course school is important. It is. And I've been to school, but I was a bad student. I barely made it through high school. I barely made it through college. I barely made it through Eastern medicine because the way they teach you is not the way I learn, is not the way indigo children learn, is not the way the crystal children and the rainbow children who are coming in now are going to learn. And if you force that and schools don't change, they will always be bad students. Of course, there are times that there's the indigo child that doesn't go through this. There's the indigo child or the crystal children that won't have some of these things. There's always the exception to the rule. But the majority of these people will do this. They'll give off moods like bipolar because one minute their energy is so great, it becomes exhausted, they become depressed, and it's an uncontrollable look, and it looks like bipolar. Even when I was younger, I thought I had bipolar even before I knew what it was. I just instinctively thought, and once I read it, I was like, oh my God, that sounds like me. I must have bipolarism. I must be bipolar because one, you know, I'm up during the day and then I'm around people. Then the next thing I know, I'm drained and I'm depressed. I have anxiety the next. I mean, I must have these conditions. And Lori was like, no, 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 no. You must understand who you are. And this is why it's so important that I teach kids and teenagers who they are. Because I don't want them being labeled as all these disabilities. I don't want them being labeled as losers. And because the fact of the matter is they're so highly gifted. They're so highly important to the world that we need them. And if we're going to label them and drug them up and medicate, I mean, they're never going to do their job. So you know, I mean, what kind of society do we have that degrades gifted children? And parents, you cannot do the same. You cannot do this. If you have a highly gifted child, don't drug them. Don't take them to a psychiatrist to fix their problem. understand them, understand who they are. Because, you know, you may think, and the psychiatrist may think that they have these things, but they just may be a gifted child that thinks in a different way and doesn't need drugs. That doesn't mean, once they start learning who they are and they learn how to deal with themselves, all these symptoms and all these things go away. It does. I tell you, they do. So if you have to be open to this. You have to allow the child to not be crushed. You have to allow, because the chaos will ensue. We'll be right back after these messages from the Life of Raina.
A message from the Life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190, and schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofraina@icloud.com.
Most parents are so concerned with pushing their rules and their belief systems on their children, that are correcting your child's behavior, that the child or the indigo child loses sight of who they are. I mean, your parents, take a moment. If you're a parent, think about how society is, right? We pass down the same traits, the same beliefs. Depending on what part of the country you're from or what country you're in, is going to set up your belief system and set up the rules and set up your structure. And we believe that we're passing down the right thing. We're doing what's right for the child. But have you ever thought that by pushing rules and beliefs on generation after generation after generation is just creating chaos over and over and over? I mean, how many of us truly believe that we really believe and we really know the answer to something? We really know that there's a God out there. We really know that this is true. We really know about this. But the fact is we don't know. And no matter how much you want to believe that you know that it's the truth, you don't. And this can cripple the indigo child. This will create so much anger, so much confusion, and it'll allow the indigo child to be so ashamed of their life. They will be ashamed of who they are because of the rules that you push on them, because of the rules of society, because of the belief system. I was so ashamed of who I was for so many years. I didn't even want to come out and tell people I'm a spirit guide. Because, hey, we read about them in the books. Oh, we read about angels and all these different things. But to understand that there's actually three of them incarnated in this world and here, it trips people's minds out. To understand that there's indigo children, these highly evolved that come here to help move our humanity evolution into a positive direction or into a forward direction to help build our next stage of evolution. If you constantly push your beliefs on them, you must allow these children to come to opinions, to come to their ideas on their own. Because I tell you what, the indigo child knows more than you think they do. And they'll tell you that. The indigo child has no problems saying who they are, what they want in life. Actually, me and my mom kind of got in, not in a fight, but we were just kind of talking, and you know, and she was like, you know, you have so many rules with friends. You know, you make them, you have to say this, this, and this. I said, absolutely. I demand honesty, loyalty, and respect. If my friends, if I meet someone and I think they're a nice person and they lie to me about something really small and minute, well, then you know what? I already know that they're not going to lie. I mean, they're going to lie about something that's much bigger. And, you know, I don't want that for my friends. I don't want someone that can't be up front with me straight up, because I'm going to be up front with you right away. And, you know, I won't give in to that. because I love myself enough to say, this is who I am. This is what I demand. And you know what? That's not going to make us popular. That's not going to make you, the Indigo Child, popular. But it's who we are. It's who we are as a spiritualist, as a spiritual energy. We have to allow that. Our sensitivity, people, even though I'm not an Indigo Child, the sensitivity of either a spirit guide or an Indigo Child or a crystal child or anybody, an empath, and that your sensitivity is the root of who you are. You must harness it. You must evolve with it, and you must accept it. Accepting is one of the hardest things we have to do. Accepting is when you accept who you are and your sensitivity, and you're no longer ashamed of showing your sensitivity. I mean, have you all ever heard, oh, you're too sensitive? I've heard that my entire life. Oh, Raina, you're too sensitive. You're so sensitive. You're too sensitive. Oh, my God, you're so sensitive. And you know what? For a long time, I hid my sensitivity behind the tough girl act. Oh, yeah, you want to see how tough I am? Well, then I'll just pull out the gang banner from Chicago again, you know, and start acting tough, and I'll show you how tough I am. And it made a mess of who I was because I was rejecting who I was. My sensitivity allows me to help people in such deep ways. And people look at me and say, Raina, how do you know what they're thinking? How do you know what they're feeling? How do you know how to help people on an instant just by hearing them say one sentence? It's because of my sensitivity. It's because I hone in on my sensitivity to their vibration. And if you want to change the world, Indigo Child, if you want to do your mission and you want to live up to what you were here to do, then harness your sensitivity. Learn to have your sensitivity. Your sensitivity will be your greatest gift. If you cut the front fins off of a fish, right? It's going to swim it's going to swim all funny, right? Because it needs its wings. It's a fish. It doesn't fly. But if you cut off the wings. But anyways, if you cut off the fins of a fish, And it's going to swim funny, right? It's going to look like it's disabled. It's not going to be able to do what it's meant to do because all the fins, the front fins and the back fins are supposed to allow the fluidity through the water, right, of the fish. When you're downing the sensitivity, when you're taking that away and you're stopping the creativity and you're stopping the person who you are from being who you are, you're going to look like you have disabilities. You're going to look like you are a mess. You're going to bring chaos. You're not going to be able to swim through the water. So you have to learn to harness the power. You have to learn to harness your creativity. And as I said before, school people, if you have trouble in school, don't give up. Just find new ways to learn. School is so tough. School was tough for me. Because you know why? We learn by what? We don't learn. For most of us, we don't learn by reading, right? Reading is very tough. Comprehension is very tough for us because we're creative people. We're not logic thinkers. Well, some of us have logic to us. But you know, for the most part, we access the side of the brain that has creativity. That's our gift. So we learn by feeling, right? When we're around people, we feel them. We're not listening to what they're saying. We're feeling their energy and how they're reacting. And we can't be taught by reading. We can't be taught by hearing. We need the hands-on approach that works best. And that's one of the reasons why people think we have ADHD, ADD, because, again, there's so much energy going on, and it's not being used correctly, and we're not understanding. We don't have the comprehension to sit down and to focus and look at a book and read and understand it. But, hey, we're the greatest people in the world that once we see it once, right, we got it in an instant. When I was in Oriental Medicine School, my first year was the roughest out of all of it because it was nothing but reading and sitting in a classroom. Once we got into clinic and we started moving, I picked up everything so fast that people turned around and said, wow, like, Raina, what happened to you? You went from, like, being one of the worst in the class to being, like, the person who everybody goes to. Because it was just the moment I saw it, the moment I did it, the moment I experienced it, the moment I felt those needles, the moment I felt those herbs, I understood what they were about. You could give me a book that's a mile high, and trust me, if you ever study Oriental medicine, a lot of the books are like that. But you could give me a book that's a mile high, and I can go through it, read it 100 times, and I'll say, I have no clue what that means. I just don't. I just don't have any clue what that means. But you give me the herb, and we're playing with it. We crush it up, and we say, hey, got it instantly. So learn to adapt. And I hope that your schools, if you're a parent out there and you have a young child, see if they have programs that your school might have, programs where they cater to people who have different styles of learning. But stop calling it a learning disability. There is no such thing as a disability unless you choose it to be. If you're going to label yourself and say, well, I have ADHD, oh, I have dyslexia, and I say that to people because that's how people relate to ideas. But you know what? If I choose and I say, well, I can't do this because I have ADHD, and I hear that all the time. Well, I can do this, but I wish I could do that because I have this. Well, you know what? I could sit there and say, well, I have dyslexia, I have claustrophobia, I have ADHD, I had clinical depression for so many years. I have all these things, but I still got my doctorate in Oriental medicine. I still have my master's. I still have my bachelor's degrees. I still have all these degrees. I went through all this school. So what excuse are we giving ourselves? And we have to let go of that. So when we push our way on people and we push our way through school and our ideas in school, we're going to falter. And I really want to get that down to you guys, because especially the parents, I know there's a lot of parents that have wrote in and said, oh, I'm a parent and I'm really concerned about my child. And so spending a little time on that, but I really want you guys to understand that. I really want you guys to understand that we need to change our little bit of ways. But you know, our the indigo child isn't taught the emotional control. We got about 8 minutes, so I'm going to wrap it up here. But we're not taught the emotional control. The emotional control is something that is very vital to the indigo child, because we don't know how to stop feeling each other, right? We don't know how to stop feeling the other people that are around us. When we're in a group or a crowd of people, right, it's hard for us to be out at a concert. It's hard for us to be out in a store. It's hard for us to be doing all these different things that all these different people want, because we're just all the energy is coming in. And for everybody else, you know, it's okay. But for us, it pulls us up and down, right? And it resembles what? Bipolar or depression, because 1 minute we're up, 1 minute we're down. And the next minute our energy's all over the place and we're labeled as hyperactive or ADHD. The next minute it's secluded and we're labeled as depressed and sad and we become lost in who we are. We can't allow us to be lost in who we are. We got to help teach the emotional discipline. Remember how I told you, parents, and remember how I told you that it's not punishment that we need to be teaching these children. It's emotional discipline. Allow them to be themselves. Don't teach them that they're special. The worst thing you can do to somebody is tell them that they're special. And I know every parent out there wants to believe that their child is special and that they have all these extra gifts. And you know what, parents? Your child is special. Every person is special. You are 100% right. But when you label someone as special, it implies that they're different, that they're not one of you, that they're an outside the box. And you know what? It is good to be outside the box. But when you're young and you want to fit into everybody and you want to be part of the crowd, you know, telling someone that they're special all the time, that no, and that it separates them. It creates a line of psychology that happens later in life. And we end up being a loner for the wrong reason, because throughout our whole life, even though you think you're doing your child good by telling them that they're special all the time, you are actually creating them to be a loner later in life, because they're going to be like, well, you know, no one's ever going to be able to understand me. No one's ever going to like me. No one's ever going to do that. You know, it adds pressure to them. It adds so much responsibility to their life already. They don't even understand themselves. And you're already telling them that they're so special, that's why nobody understands them, that's why no one likes them. That's going to create failure. I mean, do you understand why why this is so important to understand with our children, especially highly sensitive? We have to teach them to feel and not to be afraid to accept others and the rejection of others. Because the fact is people are going to reject us. people are going to reject your child. It's going to happen. Even if they weren't an indigo child or a crystal child, you still get rejected. People get rejected. It's part of growing up. It's part of it. It makes us stronger. It makes us tougher. And we have to be able to teach them to feel and not be afraid of it. They have to understand their mission. Their parents, you have to understand that these children are here for the human evolution of moving forward and growth. You have to allow them to pave the way. Don't set your rules. Don't set your boundaries. Don't set these things. Allow them to be themselves. Of course, if they get out of control, do what you have to do. I mean, I'm all about that. But you know, allow them to be themselves. Allow them to be grow in and to be themselves, allow their energy to nurture themselves. You know, as indigo child, we know that we deserve to be here. We do. We deserve to be here. As we know that the mission in life is bigger for us than a lot of the people in this world. We come with that sense. It's like, oh my God, I don't know why I have this sense of changing the world and helping the world, but I know I deserve to be here, and that's my mission. And we know that with all of our hearts, and there's nothing you can do that'll help us change. And as I said before, right, we speak our minds. Right? We speak our minds, and we will become the leaders of the world, the ones who are in charge. And if you put us in anywhere, we are always in the forefront. We are always leading the group. We're always the managers and the head people and the bosses, because we make sure that we put ourselves into that. Because once an indigo child becomes whole with themselves, their confidence is unshakable. I am so unshakable with my confidence because I believe in myself, because I love myself, because I work on myself every single day. And I make sure that I understand my energy. I make sure I understand who I am. And this is so very important. If you're an indigo child that's an adult right now and you've had so much trouble with who you are, well, then listen to this show. Start understanding yourself. Start accepting yourself. Start healing from the past. Start being proud of who you are and the sensitivity. Start understanding that your sensitivity is the greatest gift. Allow yourself to help the world. Allow yourself to change the world. And remember that life is precious. This is the most valuable thing for an indigo child. We understand, or any highly evolved soul will understand, that life is the most precious thing in the world. It is life above all, in all forms, is valuable. We have such great disdain. I mean, we have such great disdain for greed, war, ego, anything that causes chaos, anything that hurts people. It just cringes us. It just hurts. Push the indigo child to create, to be the artist, to be the musicians of the world, to be the conceptuals, the scientists, the engineers, the developers. Push them to be the human advocates to help people. And push them to be those leaders in this world, because we need those. Seek out other indigos. Seek out other crystals. Seek out other rainbows. If you're having a hard time connecting, and you will, you will have it, then seek out other people that are familiar to you. Because normal people, I'll be honest, normal people to an indigo child or a rainbow or a crystal child will not cut it. They will never connect to them. Sure, they'll have friends, but there'll always be a disconnection. Figure out what kind of indigo child you are. And what skills you have, figure out where you harness, figure out your drawbacks, or I don't believe in drawbacks, but figure out the areas that you need to work on. And because if you keep pushing the same old ways, the long lost indigo child will always have the emotional struggle to succeed. All right, everybody, that is our show for tonight. We have a minute 42 left. Wow, I got all that in. Surprise, surprise. Well, I want to thank you all for being here tonight. And, I don't have my board. I forgot it at Wellington. Anyways, but I thank you all for being here tonight. And I want you to always remember to believe in yourself. And it's not our abilities or our talents that make us who we are, but it is our choices. Thank you and have a wonderful night.